In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yes. Movie talk and more. Alan Adams joining us here in studio. Happy Monday.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You?
You know, it's funny. I was having a pretty good day. You know, it is Patriots Day, and so I was officially off, but I actually had some work that needed to get done this afternoon. So I was doing some stuff, and you know, this new position. Every once in a while, I'll come across something. It's like, oh, I don't necessarily know how to do this, and so I have to work my way through it, which can be a rewarding and frustrating process. The frustration part of it was exacerbated when I came out of my house to come here, and some jackhole visiting one of the local, you know, like visiting someone somewhere, had parked their car basically halfway across my driveway.
Oh my God!
And so Sheridan had to come out and sort of steer me out so I could get my car out. And it's one of those. It just makes me furious. It's like it's one of those things where you. This person knows what they did. You can't. It's not like it's not a secret that you're like that you're blocking someone's driveway, and yet here we are. Particularly when there was ample room in front of said car to pull forward and not be blocking my driveway.
So did you key their door?
I did not. Nor did I just stand in the middle of the street and shout at the building that I'm pretty sure that person is currently in. Because I love my wife, and I don't want to be that guy, in the neighborhood. You know, it's already kind of dicey as far as like, I mean, look at me, like it's people have questions about this guy wandering around their neighborhood. So, the last thing they need is to see him, shouting. Cause here's the thing, man. Like I could shout.
Oh, yeah. So I know that,
you know, and, so it's, but no, I behaved myself. Had I had a little bit more time, it might have changed.
Right.
But I needed to get here, no vandalism, no threats, idle or otherwise. Sheridan did take some pictures, and we'll see how it goes. But it's just entitlement, man.
Entitlement, or the stunning number of people who. Just seem to never take into consideration how their actions will impact others.
It really is remarkable, and I think it speaks to the current climate as far as our society spiraling downward as it is. It used to be like that sort of behavior was shamed, and then we reached a point where people sort of tolerated it, and now it feels like it's almost celebrated.
Oh, I agree.
And it's just like, you know, I'll get mine, and to hell with the rest of you. Mm-hmm. And it just bums me out a little bit.
Now, is that a tollable offense in Bangor? I know a lot of cities blocking a driveway will get you towed in a hurry.
Oh man, like you're not even like because we may have had some. Not quite to this extent, but similar troubles in the past, and it's one of those things where, according to the law, if the bumper of a car parked on the street is less than 10 feet from the center of your driveway, it is illegally parked.
Wow.
For safety reasons, like you know, right, it's like you got to be able to see to get out of your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
But we have not. Like, I don't want to be the cop calling guy either. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just like at a certain point, like you just have to, you know, this is my home. Like this is like, you know, and you know what? It is not your home. So maybe, you know, maybe park literally anywhere else because it's not like the street was packed with cars. Like
any way to wedge them in when you go home?
I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it.
Sorry, I couldn't get in my driveway, so I had to park this close to you.
Yeah, I'm double parked. Sorry. I'll just be, you know, I'm going to have some dinner and stuff, but you know, we'll get around to it.
As soon as I walk the dog, I'll be back. She likes to go for a long time.
Just though. Like, I don't know.
People, let's talk about happier things. What fun it was to celebrate a focus group anniversary with a huge group of folks on Friday night.
Yes, this is a much more pleasant topic of conversation. Yeah, like, oh man, it was a hoot. Like, it was just, it was wonderful to get back out there. With some old, some old familiar faces, like friends of the group, former members of the group, and just going out there and letting her rip, and it was fun. These anniversary shows tend to be kind of circuses anyway.
Oh yes,
and it was fun because I mean we hadn't done one in since 2019 was the last one we did because our April being our anniversary, April 2020, some other stuff was going on. I don't know if you remember. and then we didn't really get back into the groove until last summer. And so it was time to bring it back. And some of our returnees have been really honing their improv skills. Others maybe haven't been doing it as much. But you know what? It's not the point. Like it's supposed to be big and shaggy and chaotic because that's how we started.
Yeah.
So it was. But it was just. It was really nice and some really great stuff happened on stage and off and just a wonderful time was had by all. And you folks out there, if you missed it, well, you missed a good one.
Yeah. Come back for the 15th.
Right.
There you go. All right. Let's talk movies. What did you get to see?
I only got one this weekend.
Okay.
But it was a pretty good one. I went to see Renfield.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
The new Nicholas Holt, Nicholas Cage Dracula movie. I didn't know a whole lot going in. I'd seen a trailer or two, and basically the bulk of my knowledge was, oh, Nick Cage playing Dracula? That makes sense. Let's see what happens. directed by Chris McKay. The script was by Ryan Ridley, with a story credit by Robert Kirkman, best known for The Walking Dead and other projects of that ilk. But he did the story. He's also credited as a producer. I did not know this, but it's actually a direct sequel to Todd Browning's 1931 Dracula movie.
Wow.
Yeah, like I didn't realize that was the deal. To the point where the movie opens and we get scenes, the sort of introduction of Renfield and Dracula. We get scenes from the Todd Browning movie with Cage and Holt sort of superimposed over Dracula and Renfield.
Interesting.
It was really neat, and it was a really wonderful way to sort of tie the two projects together. But this film is set in present day. Our man Renfield, played by Nicholas Holt, continues to be a familiar for Dracula, basically a manservant of sorts, doing all the things that Dracula can't do, whether it's he finds victims for Dracula, of course, but also does all the sort of mundane tasks that can only be accomplished during the daytime because again, Dracula, he can't go out in the daytime. So he needs someone to do that sort of stuff for him. And they've spent, all this time sort of moving from place to place. We have currently landed in modern day New Orleans where they've set up shop in an abandoned hospital. And Renfield is starting to, he's starting to question the nature of the relationship between the two of them. Like he's just
kind of a one-sided relationship.
And he really begins to grasp the extent of that when he inadvertently stumbles into a Codependents Anonymous meeting, where he sits down and starts listening to the stories of these other people, and he begins to realize is this me? Am I in this kind of relationship? And as anyone who is familiar with the Dracula mythos, well, yes, Renfield, yes, you are. You are in a codependent relationship. This is wonderful sort of like pop psychology kind of vibe that's happening with this meeting. But in this version of the story, Renfield also has been granted a fraction of Dracula's powers. He does not do so. He does not gain strength by drinking blood, the blood of humans. He gets it by eating bugs. And Renfield is notorious as a bug eater, as far as Dracula's stories, since the very beginning. But it turns out there's a very good reason he's eating bugs. It makes him basically like super strong and, gives him that sort of the Dracula bump, as it were. Dracula, again, Nicolas Cage, who is, I can't stress enough, going for it. In every every second he's on screen, it's just like, and he's like, he's weird and silly, but also menacing. And he's got the teeth prosthetics alone are just killer. But so they're in New Orleans, and Renfield is starting to wonder, maybe instead of bringing innocence, maybe I can find a way to, help these people who are dealing with these abusive relationships by feeding the abusers to Dracula. Unfortunately, Dracula, he's got very particular tastes, so that gets complicated. Meanwhile, we also meet a young lady named Ramona. She's played by Awkwafina, who's a New Orleans beat cop. She's on the DUI circuit. And she's the daughter of a former New Orleans police officer who died in the line of duty, at the hands of a particularly notorious crime family known as the Lobos. And so she's devoted her energies toward trying to take down, the scion of the Lobo family, Teddy Lobo, played by Ben Schwartz, who is also going for it in a really delightful way. As it turns out, as is often in the case, when a good cop tries to take down, a big time criminal enterprise, turns out pretty much everybody's on the take. I suppose you could argue that's a spoiler, but it's pretty obvious pretty quickly that, no one's really interested in doing anything about the various, drug running and, murdering and all the things that the terrible Lobos are doing. But their paths cross when Renfield, in pursuit of one of the abusive relationships, stumbles upon this guy who's stolen drugs from the Lobos. And you know what? That's not something you do. The Lobos send someone in to take care of them. But instead, they discover Renfield, who immediately, and this is the first reveal that this movie is maybe a little bit different than what you might have anticipated. He just starts tearing everybody apart, and I mean that very literally. Like, I mean bits and blood. Ooh. And like it gets super like cartoonishly gory, like Sam Raimi gory, you know what I mean? So it's like it's so over the top that you're like, oh well, this is kind of hilarious. The good cop and Renfield wind up crossing paths due to young Teddy Lobo's pursuit of revenge. And I'm gonna leave it there, because the things escalate very quickly in some expected and some very unexpected ways.
All right, it sounds pretty good, actually.
I really liked it. Sheridan, who doesn't necessarily have the stomach for the gore, was a little surprised, as was I. Like, it's like you hear horror comedy and you have some certain, certain expectations. But this was this was a step or two beyond that. But really, really well handled. The comedic aspects of it were a delight. And it's just, there's something to be said for sitting down and watching a movie and seeing these sort of these ideas like being pulled from this very old source material that just make a ton of sense. Like, it's like the idea of Renfield and Dracula in a codependent relationship, that's inspired. Like, it's so good and it's so beautifully realized, thanks to not just Nicholas Holt, who's great in this. Like, he really nails that sort of put upon nature of the character. But then you have you know, Cage going full gaslighting narcissist at points where you're just like, oh man, like it just like manipulative and like all the while it's like, but you know, but he's a monster. But it's like, oh, he's a monster, but he's also a monster. Like, and you pull all these things together, and then you throw in these phenomenal and unexpected, like over the top, like action set pieces where you get to watch, you know, just wave after wave of you know, faceless thug get just mowed down in increasingly creative and gory ways. And this was really nice. There was was sort of like implied at the beginning, but it never really, like, they didn't go full love story with it, which I thought was really good, because like there's only so much of that you really want. This is a movie that was already kind of brimming over with ideas. One could argue that the third act kind of just steers into more safe territory where it becomes almost like a buddy cop adventure kind of film, which is good in its own right.
Sure.
But it does sideline Nick Cage for a little bit. And the truth is, like, I honestly could have watched an hour and a half of Nick Cage just swanning around in this abandoned hospital with his like opera cloak and his big dumb teeth and just like going through and just being Dracula. Like, it was so delightful to watch. He's clearly been wanting to do this for a very long time. You know, this is a guy, you know, Nick Cage, man, like he does not do half measures. And so he's shooting his shot. And it is just a delight to watch. Awkwafina, she's very good. Like it's one of those things. It's one of those parts where I think like any number of people probably could have played it. But she's very good. Ben Schwartz is, you know, just doing his Ben Schwartz thing. It's like, yeah, if Jean Ralphio was raised by a mob queenpin, like that's basically what we're getting here with Teddy Lobo, which works. It absolutely works. A wonderful collection of sort of supporting characters, particularly in the codependent support group. We get to visit that spot multiple times, and really it really is just extremely enjoyable every time. But yeah, you know, it's like I figured I'd like it. Like I'm a big horror comedy fan. Like I like both Nicholas's as far as their work is concerned. But I wasn't at all prepared for how much I liked this movie. Like, I can't stress enough, if you have any interest in the Dracula mythos, in vampires in general, this is a very interesting, very well-made, and very funny addition to that canon.
Excellent, excellent. Looking forward to it. I wanted to mention, too, we went to see the final performance of Queen at Penobscot Theater yesterday.
Oh, I saw that you guys, that you had posted on social media that you guys were going. Isn't it great?
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's one of the best shows they've done, I would say, in the last decade.
Yeah, so. it was excellent. Just, and you know, and we've talked in the past about the high bar that they have set with regard to production design and stuff like that.
Wow.
But I mean the set that they put together for this, the soundtrack, you know, like all the technical elements were great, and the performances were phenomenal. You know what I mean? although I do make the joke, you know, they'll probably think twice before casting their entire box office team in a show.
Yes.
Again,
to watch John and Jen scramble around to handle tickets. Yeah.
But I get it, and well worth it, because both Amy and Frank are excellent.
Yes.
in this show. Beautifully well cast, as well as the two out of town performers too, who came in, were excellent. Just top to bottom, just such a great show. I'm glad you got a chance to see it. I'm you know, if you're a fan of live theater and you did not see this, well, again, you missed out.
Yeah, it was terrific. What else was I going to say? Oh yeah, and so five new people from the Boston bracket have joined you on the final Hall of Fame ballot.
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
Let's see. Today we added Bob Ryan.
Of course.
Steve Buckley.
Sure.
Chad Finn.
Yeah.
Gary Tanguay.
Yep.
And Bob Soucy.
I mean, well, that I'm a little nervous now. Like, that's a that's quite an impressive collection.
Yeah. 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 And then we'll add whoever makes it from the national bracket, which is just stupidly stacked. Ken Burns, Heather Cox Richardson, David Roth, Doris Kearns Goodwin, Sean McDonough, Gary Thorne.
Man. Yeah.
Jeff Perlman is in there. Yeah.
I'm
Dan Epstein. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Epstein's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to have to rally the troops because
Joe Posnanski.
I want to go in with Roth. Like, that's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I ride hard for David Roth. So, and he's always a delight when he's on here. And, you know, nobody entertains me and depresses the crap out of me at the same time, quite like David Roth.
Let's see. Wow. Whoa. Heather Cox Richardson out of the box. 73% of the ballot so far.
Yeah.
Well, no shock there.
I mean, one should hope.
Roth doing well. Ken Burns doing well. Very early in the voting.
Indeed.
We'll see what happens. You got some time. You got till May before you call out the troops for the final ballot.
And again, I know I've stated this on a number of occasions, but it bears repeating. I want this very badly. I'm not even embarrassed to say it. I want to be Christy Mathewson. I want to be Honus Wagner, man. Like, I want to go in first ballot. I want to be part of the inaugural class.
We got to decide what we're going to do for the people that make it, because we have to do something. It's a Hall of Fame. We got to come up with something.
Oh yes, I agree.
What
I
would be good but as a candidate on that final ballot? What would be
Tiara?
plaques are kind of the thing, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, that's kind of been done,
right?
You know,
right.
You don't necessarily want to do a plaque, you don't want to do a bust, although that would be hilarious. but yeah, no, that's, I guess I hadn't really thought about it, but that's really interesting.
Downtown Hall of Fame jeweled belt buckle.
Oh my God, a big old belt buckle. I don't hate it, Carrie. I don't hate it.
I was thinking a tank top with the logo. Let's see who's bold enough to wear that.
Oh man, hey man, I put shorts on this weekend. I was pretty stoked about it.
Oh, me too.
And
me
then
too.
Yeah, and then I moved back to pants, yeah, because it's pretty cold out there. But oh man, I tell you what, on Saturday, Sheridan and I went up to Millinocket and hit Knife Edge Brewing,
yeah,
a new brewery. Ooh, up there.
How was that?
It was pretty cool. Like, they, it's one of those things where you turn down a dirt road and you drive long enough where you're like, oh, I'm probably gonna die here, and then you come out and there's this gorgeous building, just an absolutely stunning building, and right there in the background is just Katahdin looming against the sky. It's beautiful out there. They're making good beer. They've got wood fired pizza.
Wow.
It's all part of the ongoing development of the New England Outdoor Center.
Yeah.
that they're trying to put, like, they've built an event center. Like, they're really going for it. Nice. Up there. And if Knife Edge Brewing is any indication, they're gonna succeed. Like, good. it's really a really impressive place to go.
Well, glad to hear about that.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Have a good week. We'll see you Monday.
Will do.
Alan Adams talking movies on Pass the Popcorn.